Last week we learned the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph towards the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara quoted the Pesukim from Sefer Shmuel Beis about Peretz Uza, that Uza saw that the Aron was slipping off of the Agola, of the wagon, and he thought that it was going to fall off, so he blocked it from falling, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused him to die. So the Gemara says now, whose fault was it? Who is at fault over here? So the Gemara says, Dorash Rava, this was an Einish to Dovi. He left off about five lines from the bottom. If Neima Nenesh David, this was considered a punishment to David HaMelech.
His party, he got all of
it. Yeah. So the Gemara says that he did wrong by sending the Aron on the Agola. He should have had people carry it on their shoulders. But Neima Nenesh David, Mipnei Shekorah LeDivrei Torah Zmiris. Shenem Zmiris HaYilichu Kech. David HaMelech composed most of the Tehillim. Some of the Prokhim are composed by others. It has the name all the time. But most of Tehillim was composed by David HaMelech. So he says, Miris HaYilichu Kecha Veiz Megurai. That David HaMelech, he is supposed to enjoy learning. He's supposed to be pleasant. But consider it like having a lot of fun. That's a little too much. I remember when Dr. Lamb first became president, he had a whole committee, a presidential committee to rearrange the whole school, and he appointed new vice presidents, interdisciplinary deans, and everything. Everything was different. He appointed some woman as a vice president, and then I remember when the woman gave her presentation to the whole faculty, she said she wants to introduce something new that the school never had, that the professors should have fun. So that was the end of her. She lasted a year or two, but from the first speech to the first public speech that she gave, everybody realized that it wasn't for Yeshiva University.
The verse had a beautiful Torah. People want to change the Torah and so forth. Look at the rest of the passage. Why? Hisham to Habakkuk. Act oxen can hold the road. That's why they're slipping. You want to straighten out the behaviors. Don't touch the tongue.
Okay.
But the Shomta Bukhar is way, because they were leading the wagon, not Boko. Where was the Boko? It says that they were leading the wagon. They were leading the oxen.
As the Pasuk says, the behemoth slipped. Yeah. So the Gemara says, this was, first of all, Gemara says it was an Einish for David HaMelech. It wasn't really an Einish for Uza. The Gemara says Uza went to Olam Haba. And why did David deserve the punishment? Because he was too having too much fun learning Torah. He shouldn't have said such a lashon. So Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu, you love Torah so much, it's so much fun. If you blink your eyes, you'll miss the whole Torah. You have to always learn and always chazer and always work hard to learning Torah. It's not such an easy thing. It's not so much fun. You treat it so lightly. Means little children, like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, between the age of 5 and 10, you're supposed to learn all of Tanakh. Between the age of 10 and 15, you're supposed to learn all the Mishnais. And there's when you reach 15, that's when you're supposed to start learning Talmud. So the Tinok Shabbos Rabban, the little children who learn Tanakh, they know that you're not supposed to put the Oren on an Agola, you're supposed to carry it on your shoulders. Dichsiv, the little children know this pasuk in Chumash. Lebnei Kosloi Nasan, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nisim donated Agolis and Shvarim, and he gave them to Bnei Merari and Bnei Gershon. And Bnei Kos, he didn't give Agolis Kavodas Hakadosh Aleihem, because if you saw, they're supposed to carry on their shoulders. V'ihu, and David HaMelech told them Asiyah Bagalto, Asiyah Baglosa, carry the Oren on a wagon on an Agolis. So that was wrong. So this was a mistake that David HaMelech made, and the Gemara says because he was too lightheaded a little bit. Sometimes he boys learning a base medrash there, gnashing popcorn, gnashing on. Yeah, it's not right. The Gemara says that Talmud Chacham is allowed to eat in the base medrash. Why? A base medrash, you're not allowed to do secular things in a base medrash. Because if you tell him he has to go across the street and eat in the cafeteria, he says he's going to have to waste 3 minutes to walk across the street, waste 3 minutes to walk back, and then till he places an order. So if he has already the food over here, he'll save 10 minutes of bittul Torah. So he'll learn over here. So it's a special heter. The base medrash is to enhance learning. So if eating in the base medrash, if for the Talmud Chacham who's learning in the base medrash, if eating in the base medrash will accomplish that, he'll learn another 10 minutes, so he's allowed to. In Shulchan Aruch, they quoted some Machlokes Rishonim. What about a Beis HaKnesses? A Beis HaMedrash is considered that like it has a higher level of Kedusha. In the end, the Megillah has a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. There's a din of Malam HaKodesh v'lo Moridin. You're not allowed to convert a Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad, but you're permitted to convert a Shal Yad into a Shal Rosh. Because a Shal Rosh has a higher level of Kedusha, slightly higher level of Kedusha than a Shal Yad. So the Gemara has a machloikes amaroim. What about a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses? Which one has a higher level of Kedusha? Is it permissible to convert a Beis HaMedrash into a Beis HaKnesses? Or the reverse, to convert a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedrash? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses. So the Pashto says if it's permissible for a Talmid Chacham to eat his meal in the Beis HaMedrash, so it should be a Kal V'chaymer, should be mutar in a Beis HaKnesses. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's a machlokes, and some Rishonim say no. This heter that the Talmid Chacham can eat in the Beis HaMedrash, because it's going to gain another 10 minutes of learning, he's going to save time, bittul Torah, that's only a Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaMedrash is miyuchad for learning. So this heter is a heter that you should come out in the end learning more. But a Beis HaKnesses is really miyuchad for davening. You're allowed to learn there also, but the main purpose of the Beis HaKnesses is not so much to learn, so this heter wouldn't apply.
Eating while learning or separately?
While learning, and then he takes a break, and he says, rather than take a break and walk across the street to eat, if it's true that if by eating here he'll gain another few minutes of learning, it'll come out that he's going to learn some more, so then it's permissible to eat the sandwich in the Beis HaMedrash. So that's okay. That says in Shulchan Aruch, that's a din gemara. Talmid Chacham is permitted to eat the sandwich in the Beis HaMedrash, and some Rishonim even hold it in the Beis HaKnesses. Machlekes. But then there are some boys, they're gnashing the whole time while they're eating. So that's not Kovod HaTor. Are you allowed to do what? To throw food. Who the children eat it? The adults are not supposed to. They didn't say Kiddush. The adults are not supposed to eat before Kiddush. Yeah. Yeah, the Gemara says in the end of Psachim they used to say Kiddush in Shul on Leil Shabbos. So the Gemara has a machlokes. Is anybody yotze with that Kiddush? So one opinion is yes, whoever paid attention is yotze when they go home. There's no need to repeat Kiddush again. And then the Gemara comes to the conclusion that we're not really yotze because Kiddush has to be recited in the same place where you're going to eat the meal. So if you have Kiddush in Shul, you're not going to eat till you get home. So the Gemara says, so why do they say Kiddush in Shul? The Gemara says, to be moitzi the orchim yideich havosim, there were guests who ate. So how were the guests allowed to eat in the Shul? That's what Tosis asks. You're not allowed to eat in Shul. So one suggestion Tosis gives is that there was a side room. In Europe, they used to have a hegdish, a side room for the aniyim who were traveling. So either they ate on a side room. How is the Kiddush b'makom suda? It was adjacent. The Kiddush was recited in Shul. Mecheder lecheder, bos habayis. If you plan to go from one room to the other, so that's called Kiddush b'makom suda. And the other opinion that Tosfos suggests is that maybe since Suda Shabbos is a Suda mitzvah, so maybe it's permissible for the Orchim even to have the Suda in the Shul. So that's why many Shuls, they'll have a Kiddush, most of the Shuls have a Kiddush in a separate room, in a social hall. And then some shuls will have the Kiddush in the shul. That's 2 days in Tesis, two minhagim in the shul. Yeah. Right? That's how we paskin, that the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses.
Kiddush, Rakam Suda and the Beis HaMedrash, does that take care for when you go home for lunch, or you have to make Kiddush?
So that's a big machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Gaonim that Shabbos morning you yoytze kiddush b'makom suda by having cake. So many rely on that when they heard kiddush and shul and then they had cake, so that satisfies the requirement for kiddush. When they go home, they don't have to repeat kiddush again. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that he thought that we really don't paskan like the Gaonim. He said, "Baharai, that on Friday night we never heard of anybody doing that. Why don't they just say kiddush and have cake, and then go home and have the meal, and not bother to repeat the kiddush?" So the Mogen Avraham writes, he can do the same on Friday night also. So Rav Soloveitchik said, but he never heard anybody do that, so he was assuming not like the Mogen Avraham, that this kula is only Shabbos morning. Why? But the Goyim seemed to say it for kiddush on Friday night and for Shabbos morning. So he said, we don't really follow the Goyim. It's a tzirif hashitas. He said the Ravid's opinion is that the din in the Gemara that you're not permitted to eat before kiddush only applies to kiddush on Friday night, but kiddush on Shabbos morning it is permissible to eat before kiddush. So even though we don't pass like the Ravid, but he said in this case when you hear kiddush and shul and you have cake, so then it's like a sex fake. Maybe the din is like the Ravid, so
you don't need kiddush.
You're allowed to eat whatever you want in the shul. When you go home, you say kiddush. Maybe you're allowed to eat before kiddush. Or maybe another tzad in the sfek sfek is, maybe that is a good kiddush. Maybe the din is like the goyim. So on Friday night, there is no sfek sfeker. Is the din like the goyim? We're not prepared to paskin like the shitas ha-goyim, that kiddush mevakom suda is satisfied by having cake. But on Shabbos morning, even though we're not so convinced the din is like the goyim, but you have the rivet shita to be mitzarif with it. So he thought that anyone who makes kiddush and anyone who eats cake in shul after kiddush should really go home, and before they wash, before they have the meal at home, they should really repeat the kiddush. He thought that we really don't rely on the goyim all the way. We're just, it's a sfek sfeker. So the sfek sfeker is only valid to the extent of permitting people to eat the cake in shul, to eat the herring, to eat whatever they want to have in the kiddush, but then to make a kiddush again when they go home. But if not going to repeat the kiddush, then you're really relying on the goyim. He thought that we don't really paskin like the goyim.
Friday night,
midrash,
and Shabbos is
midrash.
So you see the difference.
Friday night, also midrash, because you made kiddush already in the
davening. Once to recite kiddush is once is the raisa, either Friday night or Shabbos morning. Yeah, to recite kiddush once is the raisa. As it turns out, we say the big kiddush on Friday night. Yeah, that's the raisa.
But is the shuls that just make kiddush on Friday night? Nobody eats anything. Nobody does anything else. Are they really doing anything that
they're not yotzei by us? No one's yotzei by us because nobody eats in the shul, right? So that's what some of the Rishonim, the Rambam has a tshuva where he writes that this is like Chazoras HaShatz. The original consideration that motivated the rabbis to introduce Chazoras HaShatz was because there were some people who didn't know how to daven, so we wanted the Chazan to say the Shemaneh Esra Atlah Kedei Lehotzi Yisfi She'en Aboki. So even if you have a shul where everybody knows how to daven and everybody davens tefillah belachash, you still insist on having chazaras hashatz. So he said similar to that is the takon of kiddush and shul. What motivated the chachamim in the days of the Gemara to institute kiddush and shul is because lahotzi orchem yodei chayvasam, there were guests who would either be eating in the side room or be eating in the shul. So that's why they originally introduced it. But then once they introduced it, but this Giblidin, they made a takon of the Rabbanon, so even if you don't have any Orchim, you still have to say Kiddush. The Mechaber writes not so. The Mechaber writes that if you have no Orchim, so you don't say Kiddush in Shul. And the Ramor writes that that the Minig in Poland was that you do. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius writes in his Sefer, has a Sefer Mati Ephraim, has many Sfarim. And most of his Sfarim have the name Ephraim in them. So he has a Sefer Mati Ephraim and Hilchas Roshoni, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Every page in the Mishnah Berurah is always quoting from the Matei Ephraim. He has the final say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He writes there about Kiddush and Shul. He says, the Machlokes, the Mechaber, the Ramor, whether we still say Kiddush and Shul, he says, not a Machlokes, the Mechaber, Ramor. The Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramor lived in Chutz Lords. So the Gemara says, they used to say Kiddush and Shul to be Moitzi the Orchim. So Tosfos says, how can the Orchim eat in Shul? You're not allowed to eat in Shul. So we said over two answers of Tais. One answer, the Orchim ate in the side room. Another answer, it's a Sudas Mitzvah. Then there's a third answer, that's what he likes. The third answer is that this was introduced in Bovel. And the Gemara says that, but the Gemara says in Megillah that all the shuls and chutz lords, but the Knesiyah Shabbat Bovel, al Tanai he masuyim. They were built al Tanai that if you have to, you're allowed to eat in the shul. So the Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael, so they never had this from day number one. They never had Kiddush and Shul to be Motzei the Yochim, because the Yochim were not permitted to eat in the Shul. Because the Batei Knesiyah of Eretz Yisrael are not built ala Tanai. But the Batei Knesiyah of Bavel, Batei Knesiyah of Chutz La'aretz are all built ala Tanai. The Tanai means if you need it, so you're allowed to use it for secular purposes.
If I recall correctly, the Zohar Sashas, I think the Rav once said that that's been baked into the Tibor by the fact that it's the Zohar Sashas.
He was working on the assumption of this Chuvas HaRamam. The Rambam says what motivated the Chachamim initially to institute Chazaras HaShatz was to be Moitzei Deina Boker. But once they instituted it, then they made it a takana for everybody. What's the nature of the takana? But everybody davened already. So what do you need? Nochamol, nocha Chazaras HaShatz? So he said no. When everybody davens Tfilah Belachash, that's Tfilah Bitzibur. 10 people are davening that Tfilah Belachash at the same time, simultaneously. When the Chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei, that's Tfilas HaTzibur. The Tzibur offers one Tfilah. And then the Rishonim give a mashal, the Shilta Gibboim quotes from the Rishonim on the side of the Rif in the end of Rosh Hashanah. He says, like you have a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur. So a Korban Tzibur is a Korban Korav on behalf of the whole Tzibur. So he says, that's over here. The Chazaras HaShatz is like a Tfilas HaTzibur. The Gemara says that even the Amsha Basaras HaYotze, like when the Kohanim HaMakriv, the Tvinim HaMasofim and the Beis HaMikdosh, the whole Klal Yisrael Yotze with the Karbonas HaTzibur, it's Koriv, the Karbonas HaTzibur are offered on behalf of everybody. So the Chazaras HaShas is offered on behalf of all of the people that live in that city. It's dumb if there's a Chazan repeating Chazaras HaShas in Montreal, it doesn't help for me. The Mishnais and Brachas talk about the Tfilos HaTzibur, the Tzibur for purposes of Karbonas HaTzibur is the Klal Yisrael who live all over the world. But the tzibur for the purposes of tefillah are the tzibur who live in that city. So the Amsha Basada is the people who don't go to shul. People who can't go to shul. They're yotzei also with Chazaras HaShatz because he offered a tefillah satzibur on behalf of the whole tzibur. Yeah.
Also, someone mentioned the reason why the minute the Ashkenazi, there are two minhagim that you do. One is that kiddush Friday night. One is to say hallel and pesach. Most people in Europe didn't have wine to make kiddush on. So a real good kiddush they could have in shul was made on wine. It's important that they share it in shul.
What they make at home?
On bread.
On challah. Yeah, many. Chofetz Chaim most of the time make kiddush on challah. He couldn't afford the wine. Yeah, it's interesting. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman HaGolis has many svarim. Many of his svarim have the name Ephraim, that was his name. The base Ephraim is Shadus HaTshuvos. He was a businessman. He was not the Rav in the city. But his Shadus HaTshuvos, he's more famous than the Rav in the city. He was a wealthy businessman. So they tell a story that once an oni came to him for an edovah, and they say that he wasn't so generous. So he asked the oni, what do you say to all of my svarim? So he says they're all very good, but the Yad Ephraim is very schwach. doesn't give enough stuff. I don't know if it's true. That's how the story goes. Yad Ephraim is Ha'oris on Mogen Avram. That's called the Yad Ephraim. He has all the other Ephraim also. Ephraim Shari Ephraim. Shari Ephraim is on Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah also. He has every single Shara that ever came up in existence. He discusses there and there. The Shari Ephraim. Then more comments. What happened exactly? On different occasions when they were sending, Rashi writes, this next pasuk is in Shmuel Aleph. Peretz Uzzah was in Shmuel Beis. That was a different occasion. That's when they were bringing the Orem back to...
20 years later it happened to Uzzah.
Yeah.
The time from Beit Shemesh.
So this was way before. Beit Shemesh was way before. Rashi writes, when the Plishtim captured the Orem and Muhammad, and then Eli died, and Bnei Eli died, And then they were suffering, the Plishtim were suffering because they had captured the Oren, so they decided they want to get rid of it, so they sent it back to the Jews on an agola that was pulled by Paros. And the Paros were singing on the way back. So it says, as the Paros were pulling the agola, and it had the Oren HaKodesh on it, so the Anshei Beit Shemesh were watching, Vayach b'Anshei Beit Shemesh kiro ba'aroin. They looked at the Oren and they were punished because they looked at the Oren. What's the Aveira? Shum de Ro Vayach, just because they looked. So that's why they deserve to be punished. What avera did they do? They must have done some avera. So the Gemara has two suggestions. Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Loza had a machlokes. Chadam, one of them says, a lot of times people are folding up their talis and their davening. They're folding up their tefillin, they're wrapping up their tefillin and davening. They're saying Ashayotza, and they're walking around, they're saying Bar Nefashas and Bichos Hamazon, they're putting away the bread and putting away the dishes and washing their dishes. So that's not their cheretz. You're talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. How do you oisik b'malacha when you're talking to the Rabbanu Shalom? You're not allowed to. That's not proper. So one says they saw the Yaren and they kept on doing their malacha. This is not as bad as that, but they weren't talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. But you see the Yaren coming, you see the Agola coming, so you say you should walk over.
Respect.
So yeah, something. They just kept on doing their malacha. Kodesh from Mishtachim Hoy. They were bowing down to the Yaren out of Kovod Hashchina, and they kept on doing their malacha. Didn't bother them. They didn't show enough respect. The Charam, the other opinion is, no. They gave an nasty comment as the Yaren was going by, so they said, what did we do in the first place that you got angry at us? They're arguing out with the Rabbanu Shalom. What did we do in the first place that you got so angry that you had the Plishtim capture the Yaren? And what did we do now that's so good that you sent us back the Yaren? They were making fun of the Rabbanu Shalom. So making fun, so they deserve to be punished. The Chadam and the Gemara says, the other Amar, Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Loza, the other one said, Mili, Nami, Amar, they said some nasty comments. Man Amrech the Imrais. Rashi writes, who got you angry in the first place that you got so angry at us and you had them capture the Yaren? Uman Osaloch, the Ephesus. And who argued out the case now that you sent us back the Yaren? They're making fun of the Shekhinah. So the Taka deserved to be punished. So on that occasion, on the occasion of the Vayach Ba'anshe Bet Shemesh, what happened on that occasion? So the Pasuk says, many people suffered. By Yachbom, Shivimish v'chamishim elefish. So it's a lopsided number. 50,000, 70. You should have left out the 70. You rounded out to the closest 1,000. So you say 50,000. But you have to mention the 74. So the Gemara thinks that it doesn't mean 50,000 and 70. So the Gemara says, the same two Amoraim had a machlokes. Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Loza had a machlokes. Chad Amar, 70 people were punished at that time. 70 people died, I guess. Each one of them was so outstanding in his mitzvahs, ma'isim, time, whatever. They were tzaddikim, but so nonetheless, on this occasion, they did some avla, they did some avera. Each one of the 70 people who died was shokol kachamishim elef. The Chadam and the other one says just the reverse. 50,000 people suffered. 50,000 people died. You never have an expression shokol kachamishim elef. What does that mean? Shokol kesanhedrin, that makes sense. The Sanhedrin consists of 70 zakenim, 70 rabbanim. So that makes sense to say that each one of the 50,000 people who died was shokol kesanhedrin. That's an expression that exists. But he holds that the first suggestion that 70 people died, each one shokol kachamishim elef.
People and they spoke like that. It's a little.
How could they be such big tzaddikim? Yeah. Unless it means that the tzaddikim were nitfasim b'avoyin ador, they weren't the ones who said it. Maybe they were not the ones. Maybe the hamoinam said this, but they should have had, the tzaddikim in the community should have had a bigger hashpo on them. So because they didn't have enough of a hashpo, that's why the tzaddikim were nitfasim b'avoyin ador. It's unclear whether the same people who died were those who said the negative comments or not. Then the Pasuk says we're jumping from one to the other. Now we're going back to Peretz Uzzah. When they were bringing back the Oren to Yerushalayim, so as they were bringing it back every couple of steps, they were offering korbanos. When they were carrying the Oren and bringing it back into the Yerushalayim, when they took six steps, so they offered korbanos. There was no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Yisur Shchut Echutz, you're allowed to make a Bama. So they made a Bama, and they brought two Karbonis. Uchsiv, they said they brought Shor Mri, it's two Karbonis. Then they said, Uchsiv, Shiva Parmi Shiva Elim, 14 Karbonis. So which is it? Is it two Karbonis, or is it 14 Karbonis? So you have to combine the two Psukim somehow. The one Pasuk is Divayam, one Pasuk is Shmuel Beis. Isn't it a contradiction? So the Gemara wants to put the two together. The pasuk in Shmuel Beis is talking about half of the story. The pasuk in Devar Yom is talking about a different half of the story. Amar Papa Bashmuel, I'll call psiyo psiyo shore Marie. Every step that they walked, they brought two carbonas. I'll call sheish v'sheish psiyos, and every six steps that they took. The pasuk says shishot zadim. The pasuk says something about six steps. So six steps, not that every six steps they brought two carbonas. No, every six steps they brought 14 carbonas, and every step that they took, they brought two carbonas. Freg de Gemara, that's wild. Every step they took, they brought so many carbonas. How can it be? And the pasuk in Shmuel Beis doesn't say like that. The pasuk in Shmuel Beis, how does it say? He could saw the every six steps they brought two carbonas. How can you pshat larain? Every step they brought two carbonas, and every six steps they brought 14. The pasuk that talks about the 14 doesn't say anything about six steps. The pasuk that says two carbonas says about six steps. So that's what he asks. Amalai Rav Chiz argues with Rav Papa Bashmuel, your interpretation doesn't fit into the psukim, and also it doesn't make sense. Milesos kolaretz Yisrael bamos. Every step they made another bamos. The 5,000 bamos.
15 kilometers from Kiryat Yarim to Yerushalayim. How many? Do they have tons of cattle?
It's impossible. Elazak the Elamav Chiz, that he has a different shot. So it's still going to be an awful lot of korbanos. I'll call sheish v'sheish psiyo shor amari. The pasuk in Shmuel Beis is kipshuto. Every six steps that they took, they brought two korbanos. I'll call shisha sedarim shal sheish psiyos. Then they brought 14 korbanos. Also an awful lot of korbanos. An awful lot. But at least it's not as much as before. Before is that the first suggestion was impossible. Yeah. Would have taken forever to get there.
Only the amount of cattle, you know, how many steps for 50 kilometers from Kiryat Yarim to Yerushalayim.
Still a teller, yeah. What does it say? The Gemara says that this story of Peretz Uzzah is described in Shmuel Beis as well as in Divrei Yomim. So there's a contradiction. When they came, how does Rashi say? What's the contradiction? Ksiv kidon uksiv nachon. The same story that describes when they came to Goren Kidon, Vayishal Chuzah Yado, and he was afraid that the Kisham Ta'abakar, that the Aram was going to slip off of the Agola, and he was punished and he died al Ashal. So in one place it says the location where that mistake was made, where Uzzah made the mistake, was Goren Kidon, and the other place it gives it a different name, Goren Nochon. So which is it? And for the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yechon, Betchila Kidon, Vila Besof Nochon. What does it mean? Rashi says, Betchila Kishabohar, and Sham Naslam Kikidon, Ahoreg Shaharag Uzzah. A Kidon is a spear that Uzzah lost his life over there. But then, Libesof, after it stayed there for Shisha Chadash, and Rashi says, Beveis, Ovid Edmagita. See, he was blessed with many children, many grandchildren, a long Rashi to interpret the Pasuk in Tanakh. So the Basav, everything worked out well. He was blessed because of the fact that he was taking care of the Aran with Derech Eretz. But the initial bumping into the Goren Kidon was a tragedy. It turned out that it was caused the death of Uzzah. So the Gemara here was, let's just review from the beginning. We started the seventh Perek Eilu Nemar. So the Mishnah is discussing which mitzvahs of Kriya have to be fulfilled dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. We pass on that Kriya Shmaz Nemaris in translation. And Shmoneh Esrei can be recited in translation also. But Duchenin can only be recited in Lashon HaKodesh. And Maimon HaSinai was Anochi Hashem Elokech was in Lashon HaKodesh. And then the Gemara says, we'll learn, and Chalitza has to be recited, the Psukim have to be recited dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. And the Gemara says, part of the Alfusa is that the Brachas, the Klolos, the Gerizim, the Harevol, we recited B'Losh Nakodesh. So the Gemara started getting involved a little bit in the brachas and klolos. We're going to get more. And then, once they got involved in that, so they started talking about brachas and klolos, Hagriz Ma'arevo. That was the first day when they crossed over the Yarden. So how did they cross over the Yarden exactly, and all the different nisim. And then the Gemara was quoting Toseftas. Every 100 lines, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, and in between they're filling in more information. So now the Gemara is going back to that Tosefta in Soita. There were three sets of 12 stones each. What were the three sets? The one is not written in Chumash at all. before Moshe Rabbeinu died. So it says Beretz Moav Hayom Moshe Be'eris HaTorah Hazayis Heitev. It doesn't say anything about a set of stones, but because the expression uses Hayom Moshe Be'eris HaTorah Hazayis Heitev Ulhalan Ha'Emer, and the Chumash Dvarim says when they crossed over the Yarden, they should write L'Chasavta Alam Es Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazayis Bayer Heitev. So the same expression appears when you, in the Chumash, it commands when the Yoshua ben Nun will cross over the Yarden, he should write Kol HaTorah Kula on the Avonim Mishivim Lashon, so the Yom HaSalem will be able to read it and study it and to see what Judaism is all about. So the same expression, it's like Gezeirah Shavah, the same expression appears when Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, Be'eris HaTorah Zos Heitev. So the Gemara understands, based on Gezeirah Shavah, that Moshe Rabbeinu also set up 12 stones and he wrote Kol HaTorah Kula, and the Nochrim who lived there in Eber HaYarden were free to read what Judaism is all about. Then the second set of 12 stones was one set of stones, Sheikh Yeshua B'toch HaYarden, when the Kohanim was standing in the middle of the Yarden and the waters split and it was dry land, Shenemar, Shtei Mesri Avonim Heikim Yeshua B'toch HaYarden, that we discussed before, the Mokam Matzav Ragli HaKohanim, where the Kohanim was standing. We had the Gemara said the miracle was called, the Pasuk says in Yeshua like that, Kolzman the Kohanim was standing in the Yarden, it was dry land, and then the minute they came up back on the dry land, so there was water again in the Yarden. And the third set of 12 stones, Echad Sheikim Ba'Gilgal, and that's the set of stones that Yeshua wrote Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the Gezeirah Shavah, Bar Heitev, just like Yeshua set up 12 stones, so to Moshe Rabbeinu set up the 12 stones. The Gemara says in the Dorim on Daf Lamed Ches that Bitchilu LaNitnan Torah Ela LaMoshe B'Zara, when the Rebbeinu Shlom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he meant that he can keep it for himself and for his family, and they don't have to share it with anybody else. That's his private matana to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara said that's ridiculous. Yeah. It says Kiseder. Sabes Bnei Yisrael V'Mat Alei. What do you mean? How to tell all Bnei Yisrael all the dinim? How to tell them everything? So the Gemara says, yeah, but Pilpula Shel Torah. All the ins and the outs and midrash ha'torah and reshes b'hem, how to arrive at a conclusion, how to arrive at the halacha, that he didn't have to tell him. He just had to tell him what the psak halacha is. And if he wanted to, he could have kept this for his own personal family. The Gemara learns it out from psukim there. And then the Gemara has a lashon, but Moshe Rabbeinu was a toivayin, he was a good-hearted person, so he decided to share it with everybody else. And he shared it with them. So when exactly did he give over the whole secret of the Pilpul Shel Torah to the Bnei Yisrael? So that's what the Netziv writes on Chumash on that pasuk. Right before he died, a month before he died, says Hayol Moshe Be'eris HaTorah Hazayis, and the Gemara says that's when he gave over. The Gemara seems to say that's when he gave over Kol HaTorah Kula. That's when he was giving over the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, the whole Pilpul Shel Torah.
Doing that last week?
Yeah. So right before he died.
Because they learn it so fast.
He says Nish.
He can teach?
Yeah. That he has all arichas on that. He says there's a medrash that's in the beginning of Bamidbar. Why was the Torah given in the Midbar Sinai? Why wasn't it given in Eretz Yisrael? A holy Torah should be given in the holy Makam of Eretz Yisrael. So the medrash has different suggestions. And one suggestion in the medrash is, if the Torah would have been given in Eretz Yisrael, so Eretz Yisrael was in Schalka L'Shvatim. So that Shevet, in whose area the Torah was given, they would probably come up with an argument with the Balabatim on the Torah. We have the final say. And even though we'll be outvoted by the majority 11-1, let's say, there'll be a machlekes among the Rabbanim. So the Rabbanim from that Shevet will say the Psak Aloche should be one way. And all the Rabbanim from the other 11 Shvatim will disagree. So that Shevet may have an argument. They'll say, look, the Torah was given in our Chelek and Eretz Yisrael, so with the Balabatim. So the Rabban Shalom said, I'm not going to give the Torah in anyone's share. I'm going to give it in Midbar.
Neutral.
So everybody's even, Stephen. Sure. So the Netziv is bothered with Akasha. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu? Also learn in Schalka L'Shvat. A good Kasha? No, it's a good Kasha. But that's how the Medrash suggests, that the reason why it was given Yerushalayim is learning Schalka L'Shvatim, that's a good Kasha. Maybe there's a good Teretz. Yerushalayim is learning Schalka L'Shvatim, the Gemara says in Dini Mominis, that the houses in Yerushalayim belong to all of Klal Yisrael. But the Tosfos has a Kasha, and the Soloveitchik family claims that the Teretz, the Tosfos Kasha is, that you, the Gemara says Yerushalayim was half in Shevet Yehuda and half in Shevet Binyamin, and the border cut through the Azara. That's why the Mizbeach can only be Bechelke Shel Binyamin. Yehuda is supposed to be the Malchus, and the Beis HaMikdash for Kapar is supposed to be Bechelke Shel Binyamin, and even 2 inches, even an inch of the Mizbeach can't be Bechelke Shel Yehuda. So the Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha, but we assume Lahalacha there is a historical Machlekes where the Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim or L'Nischalka. We assume L'Nischalka L'Shvatim. So L'Nischalka, so what's the Gemara talking about that? Yerushalayim is divided half in Shevet Yehuda, half in Shevet Binyamin. It's just not true. So Tosfos gives a Shvera Teretz. So the Soloveitchik family assumes that the correct Teretz of Tosfos Kasha is that when they did the Chalukah L'Shvatim, there were two parts to it. One part was, it was the Gemar HaKibush. The Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was when they were Koivishit from the Laman Aleph Malachim. So the Gemar HaKibush was when they ripped everything apart. This used to belong to this Malchus, that Malchus, 31 Malachim in Eretz Yisrael. So they conquered everything and they divided it among the Shvatim and among the Mishpachas and among the Yechidim. So the Kibush was a total Kibush. That was number one. Then number two, not only was it the Gemar HaKibush that it was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, number two, each individual person had a private ownership. This field belongs to me, and that house belongs to him, and that vineyard belongs to him. And Dini Mamonis, it belonged to each individual person. So when the Gemara has this Machloikas, and we come to the conclusion, Yerushalayim, Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, the first din in Hilchas Chalukah L'Shvatim did apply. Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim. This was called Chelka Shal Binyamin. That's called Chelka Shal Yehuda. And that was the Gemara of the Kiddush. Because if we say Yerushalayim was Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, Kum Tais Yerushalayim didn't have Kedushas HaAretz. Because the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, the first time around, that's called the Kedusha Rishayna. The Mekadosh the first time around was the Kibush. Kibush V'Chiluk. So that's what later? Okay. Okay. So when each time they conquered more, so all the areas that they conquered, that was a hemshach of the kibush that was made, that was started by Yeshua ben Nun. So throughout all the years, when they kept on conquering more, so that area was in the Scottish B'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Before they did the kibush on any given area, it wasn't yet in the Scottish. So does Yerushalayim have Kedushas Eretz or not? So we say it was Lein Eschalko L'Shvatim. So it was never in the Scottish. And that's why Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes that kasha. As a separate volume, Har Tzvi and Inyon Yisroel. So yes, that kasha from Achrayim. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. No, Yerushalayim. They quote from the Brisker of the same teretz. Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim. This is called Chelka Shel Yehuda. That's called Chelka Shel Binyamin. But the second step, the Dini Mominus aspect, that therefore, okay, this part belongs to Shevet Binyamin, and we should divide it. And this house belongs to me. And that house belongs to you. And this lot belongs to the third person. And Chelka Shel Yehuda also. So that part we didn't do. The Dini Mamin is that they didn't do. But Nischalka L'Shvatim for the Gemar HaKibush, that they did, yeah.
You had to do with the Melech collected money from all the Shvatim, and he bought a place from Goran from Ayurusi.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So he did. So it belonged to somebody that Chaylik that he built the Semidus, because he had to buy
it. Aravna Ayurusi. It belonged to the Nochri. Aravna Ayurusi. But then when they took it over, so did it belong to the people in Shevet Yud and Shevet Binyamin or not? So we pass on that line as Chalka L'Shvat. Means indeed the Mammon is, it didn't belong to them. So that's what, so it could be that if the Torah would have been given in Yerushalayim, true, Yerushalayim is line as Chalka L'Shvatim in the sense that it didn't belong to the members of the Shevet Yehuda, members of Shevet Binyamin. But the first aspect of the Chalka L'Shvatim it was. If the Torah would have been given in that part of Yerushalayim, so Shevet Yehuda would say, oh, the Torah was given in Asher. If the Torah would be given a Shevet Binyamin, they were tied and the Torah was given in Asher. So we're the final Balabatim on the Torah. So that's what the Netziv raised a question. The Psukim Echumish sound like they're saying, Hoel Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Azayis, he's giving over the whole Masorah of the Torah Shebal Peh, all the Pilpulah Shel Torah, right before he dies. Right before he died, he was in Eretz Yisrael. He was in Evra Yardin and Chelek of Reuven and God Nechat to Shevet HaMenashe. So wherever he was, that Shevet is going to pose a problem. That Shevet is going to say, we're the Balabatim, according to the Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Bamidbar, that this was a consideration. This is why the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give the Torah in the Midbar. No Shevet should claim with us, we have the final say, we're the Balabatim. So when Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Pilpul Shel Torah right before he died, he was in Eretz Yisrael. He's in either Chelek, Reuven, God, Achat, to Shevet HaMenashe. It says where? Gesham Chelka is Mechakek Sofer.
God.
God. So he was in Chelka Shal God. So what? So God will tell that we're the Balabatma and the Torah Shabbat Peh.
The Rebbe did they not give the two and a half
after
the Kibbutz? So at that time,
it wasn't there to Israel. It wasn't yet Miskadosh. It wasn't Miskadosh till all of Eretz Israel was taken over. Yeah, but still, that's what the Netziv raises this question. So he puts the Netziv as a fantastic bookie. So he puts together Marmakimus. So he points out, where does it say? It says Mul Beis Por, yeah, in the beginning of Chumash Dvar, Mul Beis Por. Beis Por is where they worshipped Avodah Zorah, and the Jews were punished worshipping Avodah Zorah there. So the Medrash says, or Sifrei, not a Medrash, he quotes a Sifrei, says that I think it used to belong to Reuven. I forgot already. It used to belong to Reuven Dachzach, and they decided they don't want it. They were mafkerit. They were mafka that area. They said, since Avodah Zorah was worshipped over there, so they'd rather not have that in their share. So then the Medrash says that I think God, based on another pasuk in the Zaysa Bracha, I think Shevet God saw that Shevet Reuven was mafkered, so they decided to grab it. Mm-hmm. So the Netziv suggests there was a period of time during which it didn't belong to anybody. Shevet Reuven was mistalek, and God didn't grab it. God is an Ekman Habashan. A pasuk mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. So I think the Sifrei says on that pasuk, Epizizanek Men Habashan, when Reuven was mafke that area, so God ran and they grabbed it. But there was a period of time when it didn't belong to anybody. So that was the time that Moshe Rabbeinu chapt arayin. That's when he gave the Polish altera in that area. He has this fantastic suggestion in his Bir on Chumash. Anyway, that's what the Gemara says, that there were three sets of 12 stones. The first was done, the first one, Bamish, no Zecher and Chumash at all. That's the Gemara says, Exereshova. First was set up by Moshe Rabbeinu right before he died, when he was giving up all the Pilpul Shalter to Bnei Yisrael. So he was being Mefarsim to the Holy Ummah Sa'olam, what Judaism is all about, and whoever wants to join can join, open to the public. The second set of stones was by Yeshua Ben Nun in the Gilgal, when he wrote Kol HaTor Kula. And the middle set of stones was in the middle of the midbar, b'mokam matzav raglei hakohanim, that they shouldn't forget that ness.
So we should have a call of telekum with all the five chamushim were written out on the stones?
That's what it sounds like. Bashab Shat sounds like they wrote the whole five chamushim. Unless they wrote Bikitsa. It's unclear. Apella, how can you write? Yeah.
Stones,
yeah. How can they write on 12 stones? Yeah. I don't know. It's Apella. Then the Gemara quotes the same Tosefta has a machlokes hatanaim. How exactly did they write? It says that you should take gigantic stones and they should write kol atar kula v'sadu to'isim asid, and they should smear it over with plaster on top. So what? They engraved the stones and they put plaster on top. So how can anybody read it if you put the plaster on top? So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Tana rabbanon ketzut kasu solas hatar. How exactly did they write? Rabbi Yudaimer. It says in the Chumash, Al Gabi Havanim Kosvo Shenema Vichasavta Al Ho Havanim. It's called Dibra Terazais. You should engrave on the Havanim, you should chisel into the Havanim. I bet it says Vesadatos Masid. No, the Sid, the plaster was put after they engraved everything. So no one can read anything. Dachakach Sodos Masid. Amala Reb Shimon, said the Tan Reb Shimon, disagrees. He said, it doesn't make any sense. Lidvarecho. The whole purpose of writing Kol HaTorah Kula B'Shivim Lashon was that all the Muslim should be able to see what it says and have a choice to join the Jewish religion. How did they learn the Torah? The whole purpose was to educate them. Amalo. So Rabbi Yehuda responds back. He has a tradition. Rabbi Shimon says he never heard of it. Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a tradition. Bnei Yisrael nasam em HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rabbi Shalom gave them an unusual chush for archaeology, and he gave them the chachma that they should have people. The Shigro no Tirin Shalahem, they sent their scribes, like we say, a notary public. Notary is one who writes. So they sent their notaries to the location of where the Yud Beis Avonim were. The Kilfu es Hasid, the Goyim had the ability, they removed the Sid, Vihisiyua, and then they copied it over. They copied over what it said on the Luchais, the Kol HaTorah Kula, they copied it over, and they all had a copy of it, and they had the ability to study what Judaism is all about. And they decided to turn it down, to reject monotheism. And this is why the Rabbi Shalom decided that all the Yom HaSoilam, all the descendants from that nation, those nations, deserve to go straight to Gehenim. They should have learned this as a true religion. They should have read what it. They did read what it says in the Torah. They all copied it, and they decided to reject it. Tosis is bothered with Akasha, but there's a famous Agadita, the first daf in Avodah Zarah. When the Gemara says the Rebbe Shlom went to all the Yom HaSoilam before Maimon HaSini, offered them the Torah. Right. They turned it down. So they turned it down already. They said they deserve to go to Gehenna for that alone. So what do you have to have Nochama? They turned it down here. So that's what Tosis works on. So good to Akasha. But that's what Rabbi Yudah says. Valdova said, because of this, it was Nechtam Gzaidinam, Neschatam Gzaidinam. The Rebbe Shlom signed the decree. They should all go to Gehenim, Shoel Alim Ovel Alam, that they rejected the term.
And what did the Yisua mean?
And they copied it over.
Where does it say that they rejected it? It says they killed Pues Hasid, they chopped away the cement.
The Yisua, and they copied it over, and then they studied it, and they turned down the offer.
Oh, it's implied.
They didn't convert. They had an option to convert, they didn't convert.
The term wanted all the learned to become
Ger Toshav, okay, to become Ger Toshav. They didn't even volunteer to become Ger Toshav. So that's why they deserve to go to Be'er Shachas. Reb Shimon disagrees with Reb Yudah. He says they put the Sid on the Avonim first, and then they engraved Kol HaTorah Kula on top of the Sid, so it's much easier to read. And then on the bottom of these Luchais, and bottom of these gigantic boulders, they wrote the pasuk from Chumash, Agabi Asid Ksavua. Reb Shimon disagrees with Reb Yudah. They engraved Kol HaTorah Kula on top of the plaster. Because for Lahem Lamato, they quoted the pasuk, Lamanu She'elam Da'eschem La'asos G'chol Torah Abbas Agoyim. That you have to wipe out Hachrim Tachrim in the pasuk, you have to wipe out Zayin Umis, in order that the Bnei Yisrael shouldn't be Nichshal to violate all of the Averis that they violate. So the Mashmois, the whole purpose of having this advertisement for the Ummas to write the Lashon, to write the Torah and all the Shivim Lashon, was we only have a mitzvah Achrim and Tachrim to wipe them out because we're afraid they're going to have a negative influence on us. But what if they'll all decide to convert or they'll be Ger Toshav? So we won't have to wipe them out. So we're telling them in advance, be Mizgayer and we won't wipe you out. So that's what he says, Holamarato, the reason for writing the last line on this stone is Shemaya Chosim Mitshuva. If they'll decide to convert, they'll decide even to be Mekabel Sheva Mitzvahs, or Mekabel Maisam, they wouldn't wipe them out at all. So that was the purpose of all of the Avonim. Amar Rava Bashela, my time of the Reb Shimon. How does Reb Shimon get his idea that they wrote on top of the Sid? Because the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, the Umas Oilam were Nidon, it was Nechtam Gzaidinam, because they rejected the Torah. So according to Reb Shimon, the Torah was written on top of the Sid. According to Reb Yudah, the Sid was hiding the Torah. So they had to send Notirin, they had to send expert Sofrim to remove the Sid and to see what it said on the bottom. And they did. They did say. But according to Reb Shimon, the Torah that was written on top of the Sid. So the Pasuk says in Yeshayah, V'hoyu Amim Misrefois Sid. The Umas Oilam will go to Gehenim, where it's fiery, where it's burning, because of the Sid. Aliske Hasid, because of the Torah that was written on the Sid. And they rejected it. They had to bear it to accept the Torah. And they rejected it. So that's why they're all going to be nidon to Be'er Shachas. Be'er Shachas means to Gehenim. Tereg Mar Ve'Reb Yudah. According to Reb Yudah, the Torah, they're indicted. They deserve to be punished, not because of the Sid, but rather because of the Torah that was written below the Sid. Zakim said, V'choyu Amim Miser Fai Sid. All the nations will deserve to burn in Gehenim because of the Sid. It wasn't because of the Sid. Reb Yudah says, no. Ki Sid. The Pasuk means, just like that's Sid, right, is only valuable to the extent that you can burn it and use it for building purposes. Masid and Latakon Elis Reifor, Avosim Akusim, those are Masoilim who lived at that time, Elam Takon Elis Reifor. The only thing that's good for them is they should go straight to Gehenna. Because they rejected the Torah, they had such an offer. They rejected it, so just like Sid, the only thing it's useful for is construction. So told the Umas Oilam at that time, Osam Akusim, the only thing that's good for them is the Sreifa. Then the Gemara says, what is this? what is this that Reb Shimon holds that they wrote on the bottom of the all the stones? So the Gemara says, "Kiman az lohod etanya." The last two lines on Lamed Hei Amud Beis. Whose opinion is it that's quoted in this brisa? It says, "When you go to make a melchemes harishus b'shavis shivyo, and you take prisoners of war, and after the war is all over, then you're left with a lot of prisoners." That's what the Meshech Chochmah has a fascinating chiddush on that pasuk. Rav Meir Simcha writes in his sefer Meshech Chochmah Chumash. He says at the end of a war, a lot of times there's an exchange of prisoners. So if the Jewish people now in Eretz Yisrael, they give an exchange of prisoners, they give 5,000 prisoners, they get back two, and they get back one prisoner. But B'noik Shabbalam, you give 25 prisoners and you get back 25 prisoners. You have an exchange. So he says you're not allowed to take a yefastoya. The pasuk says the Jewish soldier was allowed to take a yefastoya. That's only if you won the war and that there's no issue of exchange of prisoners anymore. So then the Jewish soldiers allowed to take one of the nochrios as a wife. But if they didn't exchange prisoners yet, he's not allowed to take her. If he'll take her before they win the whole war, before the whole war is over, you may be missing out on getting back one of the Jewish prisoners. They'll have 25 prisoners, you'll have 25. One of the Jewish soldiers will marry this sheik, so you'll only have 24. So you give back 24, you'll only get back 24. So you'll be missing, you'll have to leave behind one of the Jewish soldiers. So he says, he interprets that that's why the pasuk says, "Nisana Hashem alakecha biyadecha b'shavis ha-shivyo." After the whole war is all over, after the whole exchange of prisoners has taken place, and then you still have prisoners, so then we permit the Jewish soldier to marry one of them. That's the special heter of Yifas Toyer. So the shaila is, who is it v'shavis shivya? But don't we have a din hachrim tachrimim? He's supposed to wipe out all the zaynumas. So the answer is this pasuk is not talking about zaynumas. It's talking if achveis that the tzahal has to go to Muhammad against some other nation. Not all the nations are zaynumas. So he says no. V'shavis shivya is an extra lashon. So it's le'rabbis. It's marbe kenainim shebchutzlorts. If you have people from the zaynumas, but they don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no din of hachrim tachrim. It's a chiddush. Rav Yehuda doesn't hold like that. Rav Yehuda holds that it doesn't. The zaynumas wherever they live, whether they live in Eretz Yisrael or they live in Chutz Lo'aretz, they're subject to the din of hachrim tachrimim. And Rav Shimon claims not so. So how do they see that Rav Shimon holds like that? B'shavis u'shivyo, the rabbis k'nanim shebchutz lo shemchayz u'metshuv u'mekabli moysam zog negmar kiman ki Rav Shimon. That corresponds to Rav Shimon's opinion. That Rav Shimon said. They used to write on the bottom of the Yud Beis Avonim, "Manashe Elam Dereschem La'asos Halamartim Shemachoyzim Metshuve Mekabla Moisam." So why did Reb Shimon say that? Because of this pasuk, "Mishavis Hashivi LeRabbis Klanim Shebuchutzlo Shemachoyzim Metshuve." So that's what led Reb Shimon to understand the other pasuk like that. And Reb Yehuda disagrees. Reb Yehuda says even if the Zaynum is Hachoyzim Metshuve, doesn't matter in Eretz Yisrael Chutzlo, even if the Chayzim Metshuve, there's still a din of Hachrim Tachrimim. Here there's a famous Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Beis, and the Tosfos appears in Megillah also. It says in Megillah, "Daf Yudal Amud Beis, the Mamasla de Igaira." The Gemara discusses, the Gemara had a tradition that Yehoshua ben Nun married Rachab Azayna. Shaila, what does it mean, Rachab Azayna? What's Far Loshan is Rachab Azayna? So Rashi on the Pasuk has two interpretations. Either Zayna means she was a caterer, she gave mezoinas, she had a restaurant, innkeeper. Or Rachab Azayna means that she was a prostitute, a real Zayna. Okay. So Yehoshua ben Nun married this Rachab Azayna. Obviously she converted and she became a Rebbetzin. Okay. So the Shad is, but she was from the Zaynumas. So, that's what the Gemara says. Okay. Okay. So Taisus has a whole discussion. What happened to the din of Hachrim Tachrim? She was from the Zaynum Mishab Eretz Yisrael. So they quote, there's some Gemaras that seem to imply that before they started the war, Kodem Hascholas HaMulchama, so even the Zaynum is in Eretz Yisrael, in Hishlimu, you don't have the mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrim. So Tesis says, but it seems to contradict this Gemara, because the Gemara says over here, Reb Shimon disagrees with Reb Yehuda by the Zaynum Mishab Chutz La'aretz, they put on the bottom of the stones that the Zainum Shebchutz Lot should know, Imishlimu, we're not going to wipe you out. Imishlimu, even the Zainum Sheberetz Yisrael, we're not going to wipe you out. So Taisus says, a steering Gemaris. I'm not sure. That could be. That could be also. They promised her they're not going to wipe her out. Yeah.
How could they promise you?
A good question. I don't know. So the Gemara comments all the Hemshech of the Tosefta. On the top line, Boy Ray Kamanisim Nasa Bosayam, everything happened on one day. They crossed over the Yarden, Shishim Riba people, they crossed over the Yarden and there was dry water. The whole thing was a tremendous mess. Bosayam. Arisosa Yarden. Bola Hagriz Maharebo, that was quite a distance. Yes, a Mishisha Mil. It's quite a distance from the Yarden to travel there. Then Karbiya Lukhoila Lamad Bifnehem, and all the people were afraid, they were all petrified. There was nobody fighting against the Jewish people at that time. Whoever would think of preventing the Jews from entering Eretz Yisrael, miyad nisrat, right away they would have diarrhea. They would fall to pieces. How do you know? Shenema. In Oz Yashir, Moshe Rabbeinu offered that tefillah. See to it that it should happen. And the Rabbanu Shalom promised that that is going to happen. So the Gemara says, we have a tradition that it did happen. Not only Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalin, the Rabbanu Shalom promised that he's going to do it, it actually happened. So everyone was afraid to start up with him. And that pasuk that says in Shira Sayam, Oz Yashir, why does it say twice? So the Gemara suggests that maybe it's referring to the twice that Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. Ad Yavram Hashem Zubir Rishonim. That's the first time they entered Eretz on the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. Ad Yavram Zukanisa is a reference to the Bishnir. The second time they entered Eretz Yisrael, after the 70 years of Golas Bavel, they returned to Eretz Yisrael. And more miyat to the fact that the two are mentioned together, b'neshima achas, one next to the other, it's like a hekish. So the biyashnir, the entering Eretz Yisrael the second time, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, is compared to the entering Eretz Yisrael the first time. So the first time was with Nisim and Eflois, it was tremendous. It was tremendous. The people were petrified. En kobri yichol alamed bifneim. So really, that should have happened the second time. It didn't happen. The second time around, there was no Jewish army and there was no Jewish government, and the wonder they were under the control of the Persian government and all the other governments until centuries later when the Hashmonaim came and they established. That was 200 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. That was quite a long time, 200 years at least till the Hashmonaim came. And more meyata from the smichas from the hekesh between the Bir Rishon and the Bir Shnia, it would appear Reuim Hoy Yisrael really. It really should have been, the proper thing should have been, Lasas Lam Nes B'Biyashniya Kibirishayna. The entering Eretz Yisrael the second time around under Ezra Nehemiah should have been with those Mofsim and Nisim and Eflois, like in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. Elishagar Machet, but because of sin, so that's why they lost that. What Chet are they referring to over here? So Rashi writes, the Chet was Goram Lahem Chetim Shalisol during the Bayis Rishon period. So Rashi writes, it was Nigz Aleim. The Melech Poras gave permission that the Jews can go back to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have an independent government. So Gor Macher Rashi says they had done so many averes during the Bayis Rishon. The whole reason why the Bayis Rishon was Chorev was because of the averes. And nonetheless, they were supposed to come back Biyoshniya. It was supposed to be with Nisim and Eflois. So what does it mean? Garmachet means that the unusual amount of averes during the Bayis Rishon. That's how Rashi seems to learn. Others learn Garmachet was the chet that when they already had permission to come back to Eretz Yisrael, hardly anybody came back. Yeah. Hardly anybody showed up. Just 45,000 Jews, and all the other millions of Jews remained behind in bubble. So that's the Garmachet. If they would have come back, in Chaymahi Nivna Lea Tires Kesev, the pasuk says in the end of Shir Hashirim, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew that it was Osid Lehechorin. Because it was told to Bnei Yisrael already, we discussed it was told on the occasion of the Meraglim. Atem on Tisha B'Av they came back. So the Gemara says the Rabban Shalom said Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shalchinim ani yak v'lachem b'chiyah l'doyres. So he mentioned that the psukim in Yecheskel and in Tehillim say b'feirish on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told already that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be chorev when it will be built in Eretz Yisrael. It's osed lehechorev, and the Jews will be going into Golus. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew that it was going to be doomed to be destroyed. And he composed the Shir HaShirim, and he wrote towards the one of the last psukim of Shir HaShirim, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash? Will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash or not? So he said, Im Chaimahi, the Gemara in Yuma, in the end of the first paragraph in Yuma says, Im Chaimahi, Im Yaluk HaChayma, if there'll be a big mass of Jews coming back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Nivna Leha Tiras Kesar, the second Beis HaMikdash will Ein HaRekev Sholid Bo, it'll be like a metal structure, Ein HaRekev Sholid Bo. But in Delasi, if it's going to be a Shvach Aliyah, not Salalu Achores, so the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, like a wooden bungalow, Sharekib Sholid Bo. So that's why they, so that's the Chet Goram. That's what the Mishkan HaSiyankiv, I think, writes like that on Brochus, on Davdala, the same Agarate appears. So he thinks that the Goram HaChet was not the Chet, the Chatoim during Baris Rishon. The Chet was what Shlomo HaMelech said in the end of Shir HaShirim. If hardly anybody showed up, so that Goram HaChet. So that's why they didn't deserve that the Knesset Eretz Yisrael under Ezra Nehemiah should be so spectacular. Hardly anybody showed up. So this was all, again, these were all Boyerei Kamenis Nasubos Hayom. They crossed over the Yarden. They went such a crossing over the Yarden itself should have taken a couple of days. And then they traveled Yosem Yishishim Mil to go to Hagriz Ma'arevol, also should have taken a few days. This was all B'derech Nes. And then Vachakach Avios Avonim Avonim HaMizbeach by Hagriz and by Ha'arevol Sadu B'sid because V'kosvam Kaldi V'atarazet B'shivim Loshen Shanam Abay Heitev V'helu Oilus U'shlomim. They brought Karbonis on the Mizbeach V'ochlu B'shosu, and they ate the Shlomim. So mitzvah the oil you burn, and the Shlomim Ochlu B'shosu V'samchu. Then they recited the Brachas of Klolos. The Birch of Ikilo said Brachas of Klolos. The Kiflu as Havonim. Then they removed the Sid. They took everything down, and they took those Avonim that they used for the Mizbeach Ubo V'lona Bagilgal, and they erected those 12. The set of the 12 Avonim, that was the same set. That's what the pasuk says. That was the same set of Avonim that they wrote Kol HaTerukula and Hagrizim and Harev on. They used it as a Mizbeach, and they wrote Kol HaTerukula on it. So those were the 12 Avonim that they took with them, and they erected them, they set them up in Gilgal, as it says in Yoshua, what does it mean, Bim Aloin? Yochel, maybe someone will think mistakenly, B'chol Malon, Malon. Every city where the Jews will come before they conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, they should erect 12 big boulders. No, Tamalon, Meshach, Talun, Bo Halayla. Only the one location in Gilgal where they're going to sleep the first night. Everything was all in one day. So that was the only place where they put those 12 avonim that had Kol HaTerukula written on them. So they took apart the Mizbeach, and then they moved it to Gilgal, and they left it there.
What is the third set of avonim?
The first set of avonim was by Moshe Rabbeinu. The second set was in the Yarden with Mokam Matzav Ragle Kanim. And the third set was this. The third and the fourth were the same set. The third set were the 12 avonim and Har Evel, where they had the Mizbeach, and they brought the Karbonis, and they wrote Kol HaTerukula. And that Kiplu, they took it apart, and they brought it with them, and they set it in Gilgal.
What happened to the second set?
It's supposed to still be there. It's supposed to remain L'Doyres, that the descendants of those who crossed over the Yarden should be able to see, oh, this is the location where the Nes occurred, that our forefathers crossed over the Yarden by Yabosha. It's supposed to remain there. I don't think it's still there anymore. But it's supposed to remain there to remember the Nes. So that's where the 12 stones landed up in Gilgal. They should take it and take it to Gilgal. Tano, there's a brisa. Tzira is an insect. Okay, some kind of a dangerous insect that can cause people to get sick. It causes infection. So the Gemara says this tzira only was in Chutz Lartz. In Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbe Shem doesn't want to have any tzira. So the Brisa says, Tzira lo avrei moim. The Tzira didn't cross over the Yarden. Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be a peaceful place. There was no Tzira. Frag the Gemara, but it says, Nechumish, not so. The Rebbe Shalom says he's going to send the tzira to help the Jewish people fight against the enemy. He's going to have the insects help in the war effort. And for the Gemara, two answers. So what? The second answer is the brisk answer. There were two tziras. Two tziras. The first answer is not so, not brisk. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, asfas hayardin omdo, the tzira stayed outside of Eretz Yisrael. Even though the eastern side of the Yarden, where Reuben and Gordon and Shevet HaMenashe lived, was also going to be in the Scottish Kedusha Saharit, it's going to take 14 years. Nothing had Kedusha till after the first 14 years, after the Kibbush V'chiluk. So why shouldn't the Tzira cross over? Because it's going to be Eretz Yisrael. This is also going to be Eretz Yisrael. They're both. Now the answer is, Eretz Yisrael on the left side of the Yarden is more Eretz Yisrael than on the right side of the Yarden. Sof kol sof, it is more. But again, to what is it more? That's a good question. So there's a Ran in the Dorim. There's a Gemara in the Dorim tells a story that some Jewish people were traveling and one Jew murdered another Jew. He got angry, he murdered the other one. So he asks one of the Amoraim who is traveling there, what do you say to that? What do you say? So he says, turn the sword again, make sure that he dies fast. So then when the Amora came to Rabbi Yochanan, he was a Tam Rabbi Yochanan, so he was concerned, maybe he's like Misayeh, the Rabbi Avera. He tells him, kill him faster. I was encouraging him to, he says, what motivated me to say it? I was afraid he's going to kill me. The guy's, I'm a Shungan, he killed the other guy, got into an argument, and he killed him. I said it because I was afraid he's going to kill me. So he already killed him, he's already in the process of dying. So I said, good, you did a good job, turn your sword again and make sure that he dies fast. Rabbi Yechanet says, "Atas napshecha itzalta, it's okay." So the Gemara has a that's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. Is that allowed? If a person is already dying, you're allowed to cause him to die faster. We assume that it's also not allowed. So it's a whole discussion. Why was the Amora allowed to encourage the murderer that he should turn the sword again? So the Gemara has a comment. This fellow, the Jewish person who killed the other one, he had the argument with. The Gemara says, they were traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara said it must have been before they crossed over the Yarden. After they crossed over the Yarden, such a terrible tragedy can never happen because we have a pasuk in Chul. There are no murderers in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara has a lot. No murderers in Eretz Yisrael. You have Ari Miklof and keep people and kill the Shoike. But the Mezid, the Gemara said, they're not murderers, as it says in the pasuk. V'nesati lecha shom lev ragos. In Chutz Lords, you're going to get angry. Going to have a lay ragas, but in Eretz Yisrael they're no murderers. That's how the Gemara says Alosh. So the Ran has a comment on that Gemara, the Ran and the Dorim. Well, what do you mean? On the other side of the Yarden is also Eretz Yisrael. It's Eretz Reuven and Gad Nachat Shevet Hamenashe. It's not somewhere in Iran or Iraq. It's also Eretz Yisrael. So he says, no, it's not 100% Eretz Yisrael. It's a slightly lower level of chashivas. And the Ran says, where do you find out pi halacha?
You're not allowed to bring from Eretz Yarden.
That's the Ran has that chiddush. The Ran says, that doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah. Is the Ran writes that chiddush?
I think it also says that by the Ari Miklat they said the same amount of cities, three, forever have to transjordan to three because there were more murders. I think Ben Shevet does.
Right. Rashi and Chumash quotes that.
Right.
It should have been much less.
Right.
Because
the Ari Miklat were bottled because the Zavar Rots.
Just later. They're supposed to be, our mitzvah is supposed to be for people who killed b'shogeg, but I guess enough people made it look like an accident. So they would run to Dori Miklat and they would live there till the Kohen Gadol would die and then they'd come back to civilization.
Well, the Roshim also ran there.
That's like Marsha Zamak, even though he killed the Mezid, also initially went to the Dori Miklat. Yeah. So we find in Alachem, we find in that Gemara in Dorim, so the Ran has that chiddush that the Eva Hayarden, even though it had kedusha derais in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yechayvin Shumas Amaisus and Shmita V'Yevul, the whole works, but not 100%. It was only 98% kedusha Zoritz. It was a little bit missing, and the Ran has that chiddush that Eimer V'im Oimer Shtei Alechem, the Oimer, the barley has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael, and the wheat for the Shtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Unlike all other menachas, the wheat can grow, barley can grow anywhere in the world. Oimer Shtei Alechem has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ran Tutu Fachidish has to grow in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz of Schol Edvash. Eber Yarden is not called Eretz of Schol Edvash. One Tana holds you don't bring Bikurim. The Meva Yarden, because the Pasuk connects Bikurim with Eretz Avos Chol HaDvash, and that's only on Eretz Yisrael proper. Eva Yarden is not. Slightly lower level. So that's what the Gemara says over here. The Tzira Chas V'Shalom didn't cross over the Yarden. Right, that's also Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. The other side, no. It's a slightly lower level. So the Tzira was there. Rish Lakish says, Al-Sfas HaYarden Omdo, the Tzira would stay on the eastern side of the Yarden River, Bezorka Behem Mara, and it spit out its poisonous whatever. It's liquid. The Simsa Einei Milamayla blinded the enemy on top. Their eyes were blinded. And it caused them to lose their ability to give birth to children. It caused them to become sterile. Milamata. Shenemba Vanoch Ishmarti Sarmer Mipnem Shigova Rosam Gova Vachasan Hukalam Ashmet Piriumimal Visharashimitachas. What's Piriumimal Visharashimitachas? That means Piriumimal, he blinded them. Ribbono Shel Olam caused the Tzira to spit out this poison from the other side of the Yarden, and they were blinded mimal. Misharash mitachas means their ability to give birth to children. So that's what Reish Lakish says. They all had this tradition that Tzira didn't cross over the Yarden. The Tzira can't be brought into Eretz Yisrael. It's a bizarre Eretz Yisrael. So, but the Pasuk promises Vishalachtis HaTzira says, yeah, the Tzira stayed over there, and the poison went into Eretz Yisrael. Rapapa says there were two Tziras, two different Tziras. The Tzira for Moshe Rabbeinu, that was absolute terror. So that terror, that terrible Tzira, that only remained in Chutz L'Eretz Avos Chol HaDvash. Then the promise for Shalachtes HaTzira, that was a lesser, less dangerous Tzira. So that was the Tzira that was in Eretz Yisrael, was a different Tzira. Shtei Tziras Havoy. I'm sure there are 5,000 different brands of Tzira. All these insects, there's so many different kinds. So he says, one is absolutely terrible and one is awful. So the absolutely terrible one, that was only reserved from Chutz Lords. Chodeh, the Moshe, Chodeh, the Yeshua. The Moshe loy over. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzira didn't cross over. Yeshua over. Yeah. Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to have the very awful Tzira. Then the Pasuk, then the Mishnah is speaking a little bit about the Hagrizim and the Harevel, that the Psukim say in Chumash, it lists off which, and in Yeshua it says, in Sefer Yeshua, it says which of the six Shvatim stood by Hagrizim, which stood by Harevel. And some of the Leviim, one of the groups had Shevet Levi, because Menashe and Ephraim only counted as one over here. So Shevet Levi was one of the 12 Shvatim over here. And some of the Shevet Levi were surrounding the Oren in the middle. So the full Shevet Levi wasn't there with Shevet Levi, because many of them were surrounding the Oren in the middle. And then every time they said the Psukim Chumash only have Or Ho'ish has Yud Aleph Arurim. It doesn't have the brachas, but each Orur was preceded with a bracha. First they said Baruch Ho'ish, first they faced Hagrizim, and they said Baruch Ho'ish, and then they faced Harev, and they said Or Ho'ish, and everybody, all the Yud Beishvatim, everybody answered Amen, both to the brachas and to the klolos. So the Pasuk says that half of the Shvatim were, six of the 12 Shvatim were by Harevel, six of the 12 Shvatim were by Hagrizim. So it says, V'hachetzio. It says, half of the 12 Shvatim were here. V'hachetzio. What does it mean, V'hachetzio? And the other half. But it says, the other half were the Hei Hayidiyah. So what does that mean? So Rashi says there are two possibilities. Either V'hachetzio means the larger half.
How can that be?
Six and six is even Stephen, right. But the population of one group was bigger than the other. So either it means the larger half, or maybe it means the smaller half. Rashi and Amud Aleph says Vachetzi means the larger half. Rashi and Amud Beis writes Vachetzi means the smaller half. Here you see the Rashi and Amud Beis about 10 lines from the top. So it's Vachetzi HaMemuot SheVachetzi, the smaller half. Then they write on the side, I'm Pirish Rashi Shabbat Yankiv. Rashi and Yankiv writes like Rashi writes on Amud Aleph, the larger half. Usually with the Hey Hayidiyah means the special half, means the larger half. Or maybe Vachetzia means the half that's mentioned in some other place in Chumash. What could it possibly be that's mentioned in another place? So that's why Rav Kahana made a suggestion, and the Gemara is going to rip him to parts, and they're going to reject it. I'm going to come out at the Yufd against Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana came up with an einfind that Kohen Gadol has to wear Shmoina Begodim. The Kohen Hedyot only wears Arba'a Begodim, special uniform if he wants to do Avodah Beis HaMikdash. When he goes home, he wears whatever he wants. But when he's in the Beis HaMikdash, they have to wear Abba B'Godim, and the Kain Godel, in addition to the Abba B'Godim, has to wear Shemayin B'Godim. So you had to have Al Kisva Sa'efod, you had to have Shtei Avonim Toiv V'Sayilo to the Kain Godel Al Kisva Sa'efod, And it says in the Chumash, "V'chasaf talei mashmos b'nei Yisrael." You have to write the names of the 12 shvatim. So we assume that there's two stones, there are probably six names on one, six names on the other. Even Stephen, Alpi Pashta. So the shayla is, how did you decide which six names belong on one Evan or which six names belong on the other Evan? So Rav Kana made a suggestion which the Gemara is going to rip apart. The Gemara says it's against all the Tanaim. He made a mistake over here. Rav Kana suggests that here it says how they divided the 12 Shvatim, yeah. Six by Hagrizim and six by Harevol. And since it says Ve'hachetzia means Hachetzi Hayodua, and the other six, as we know by the Kisvas Eifo, they were divided six names over here and six names over here. So the same division, six and six, as was by the Eifo, was over here. But by the Eifo, it never says in Chumash what it was. By Hagriz Maharevel, it says. So this is a Vahachetzia means the same division here, six and six, is what the Torah meant by the Kisvas Eifo. That's where Rav Kana says. Amar Rav Kana, Kedersh Achaluk and Khan, just like the 12 Shvatim are divided six and six between Hagriz Maharevel, Kachalukim, Biavne Hoefot. Freg the Gemara Meisvei, it's just not so. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion that he made a mistake. The Gemara has about eight lines from the top on Amud Beis. Tiyufta the Rav Kana Tiyufta. He's wrong. Freg the Gemara, so why does it say Bahachetzio? Ola my Bahachetzio, what's the Hey Hayidia? Rav Kana thought the Hey Hayidia means and. The half, that the same way we divided six and six by Hagriz Marevo, it's the same half that we know the six and six by the Kisva Saifa. So if that's not the meaning of the Hey Hayidia, so what does it mean? So it means that one half was larger than the other. So which half was larger? The Hachetzio that's mentioned in the Pasuk in Yeshua, does that mean this is the larger half or the smaller half? So the simple reading of the Elamai Vachetzio, Tana Chetzio Shel Mul Hagriz, was Meruba Michetzio Shel Harevo. Right. So that's the shaila. How do you read that gemara? One half had a bigger. It was six shvatim, but one of the groups had a much bigger population than the other one. The pasuk says, the pasuk says beferish. Which mahagriz and which maharevel? Yeah, that's beferish. So the gemara has this meisvei on Omid Aleph. Meisvei feg the gemara is just not so. The division between six and six, the way it was mahagriz maharevel, is not doesn't correspond to what was on the Kisva Sofer. None of the Tanaim agree with him. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa, "Shtei Avadim Tavis Hayu LeKangar Lak Sefer." That's part of the big Dekun. Achas Mikan, Achas Mikan. One piece of jewelry on the right shoulder, one on the left shoulder. Ushmesh Nemasu Shvatim Kosav Aleim. Shishal Eleven Zu, Shishal Eleven Zu. Shenemar Shishim Mishmas Eleven Achas. Mishmas Hashishan Nosarim. Eleven Shenis Kisol Daisom. Shoyin. So the Gemara says, it says, Alevan Hashenis Kisoldosam. So there's a diuk. Alevan Hashenis, on the second stone, the six names of the Yud Beishvatim, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and so on the second stone, they were written Kisoldosam. The Mashmo says, on the Eben Ha'achas, they were not written Kisoldosam. They were not written in the order that they were born. Why not? So the Gemara says that Yehuda was not the first one to be born. Reuben, because Reuben, Shimon, Levi Yehuda was the fourth one born. But his name appeared first. So the Eben Ha'achas, on one of the stones, it says Yehuda first. That's not Kisol Dosam, not in the order of the birth. Allah Eben Hashenis Kisol Dosam. The Gemara understands the word Kisol Dosam only goes on the Eben Hashenis, not on the Eben Harishana. Shniya Kisol Dosam, Allah Rishani Kisol Dosam. The Eben Harishani was not. Why not? Mepnei Shiyuda Mugdam. Then the Gemara says, if you count up how many letters there were in all the names, putting together Reuben, Shimon, Levi, God, Yehuda, the Gemara says there are 50 letters, and it came out exactly even. There were 25 letters on one stone and 25 letters on the other stone. So Rashi already tells you the Kamon part, the Gemara is soon going to ask, it's not 25, it's only 24, because the name Binyamin is always spelled in Chumash with only one yud. It's not spelled with two yuds. So there are only 24 letters. So the Gemara says, no, over here we're spelled with, Binyamin was spelled Moleh with two yuds in it. So it was 25 letters. Yeah. But so if that had 25, so you got to take off one of the letters from one of the other names. Because the Pashto. I think Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis. I was going to get to. Anyway, the Brisa says There were 50 letters. Chamish Mois Yisoy, you want both of them together. Esim Chamish 11 Zu, Esim Chamish 11 Zu. Fine. So that's the first Tana. So the first Tana says that the second stone was Kisold Oysom. So that doesn't correspond living or dead to the Hagrizim and the Harevim. That's already not so. And the second Tana also says it doesn't correspond. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees with the Tana Kama. None of them saw the big Dekuna. They all lived after the Churban Bahi Sheni, so they never saw the big Dekuna. So each one had a historical tradition, and either one is right or the other is right. You can't say, hey, Luya, the Divin Kim Chai. It's a Shaila Metzias. What was it? So the second Tana says no. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Oimer. The Shvatim are listed off quite a few times in the Chumash. So Chumash Bamidbar is known as the Chumash Abkudim, where the census was taken. And the Chumash Hasheni is Shmos. So this Tana says, the Avnei HaEfod had six and six. Not in the order that they appear in Bamidbar chapter Aleph, but rather in the order that they appear, B'tchilas Chumash Shmos, and he tells you how. So Zvaita doesn't correspond living or dead to the Hagrizim and Harevo. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, the Rav Kana Tiyufta, none of the Tanoim agree with him. Achetzio doesn't mean, hey, Haidia, the same way, Kedar Shachalukim Kan, Kachalukim Be'abne Hoefa. So the Gemara says, Eramani Mikan Kisoldosim, according to this second Tanoim, according to the second Tana, the first Tana, the Tana Kama, the Brisa says, Alaver Hashenis Kisolda Sama, on the second Evan, the six names were in order of the way they were born. According to the second Tana, nothing was in the order they were born. Not the first Evan, not the second Evan. So what does it mean? What does the word mean, Kisolda Sama? So he says, My Kisolda Sama. So he says, Amana Mikhaim Kisolda Sama, if it's not at all in the order that they were born. Zokta Kisoldo Sam means the names that they were given by the Bris, the names that they had when they were born, as opposed to when Moshe Rabbeinu refers to them, he uses different names. Kishmoisam Shikar Lehem Aviyem, the names that Yaakov Avinu gave them when they were born, Ulo Kishem Shikar Lehem Moshe.
Where did Moshe change their names?
Oh, so the Gemara says the next line, Ruuvein Velo Ruuveini. When it's giving the census. So he says, Luruveini Velagodi. Yeah. I don't know. So that's what the Gemara says. The word Kisoldosan means that they had the names the way Yaakov Avinu gave it, not the way it appears in the Chumash in a different context. Yeah. And Shimon v'lo Shimoni don v'lo hadoni god v'lo hagodishot. So the Gemara says that's a tiyuf to the Rav Kana. Rav Kana thought that the same division that they had by the Hagriz Maharevel was the way they were divided by the Avnei Ho'efer. Gemara says it's just not so. Okay, then the Gemara is going to continue some more details about the Avnei Ho'efer. Okay, I have to have something to learn next. Remember, a few years ago, I was in Los Angeles. A religious balbas comes over to me. He tells me he works for the federal government. He's a chemist, and his job is that he tests the dyes in the clothing. Sometimes little children chew on their sweaters. Or sometimes adults chew on their sweaters also. So if the dye is going to have poison, so we don't want people to get sick. So that's his job. He tests all the different dyes to see if it has any poison. So just for fun, he wears the new trailers that they sell in Eretz Yisrael. So he tested that also. The government didn't ask him to test it. And he said that it has poison in it. So he's asking me, are there any sources in Talmudic literature? First he asked me, are there any sources that it was poisonous? I said, why? So he gives me the whole Hagdon. So I said, the only thing I know is the Rashi and the end of Parsha Shlach. Rashi has a whole remez over here. He's quoting Midrashim. So the last Rashi says, what color is the sky? The sky is blue. Yeah, but what color blue? In the middle of the night, it's so dark blue. It's like pitch black. In the daytime, it's light blue. So what color was the trellis? Is it light blue or dark blue? So this is a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. That's why a lot of people don't want to wear the trellis, because there's a 50-50 chance that you won't be yotze. If you're going to make it dark blue, it's the exact same color blue, but it depends how much water do you put in, how much do you dilute it. Do you dilute it so it should be light blue, or do you have it very, very dark blue so you hardly dilute it at all? So Rashi, Rambam writes that it's the color of the sky in the afternoon, light blue. Rashi writes it's the color of the sky at night, because it's supposed to be, Tcheles is Milosh and Tichlo, which is the Aramaic for death, and it's supposed to be Zeche Lamakas Becheres. So I said, the only source I know is this Rashi, that it could be that the Tcheles is supposed to be poison, because it's supposed to remind us, when we look at the Tcheles, Rashi says it's supposed to remind us of the Makas Becheres. Then Rashi writes another comment, that the eight strings that we have on the tzitzis are supposed to remind us Shmona Chutim Shabo Keneged Shmona Yomim Shoshayisal Mishiyotzim in Mitzrayim Ad Shom Mishir Al Hayam. It took 8 days between Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim was on the 15th of Nisan, and then the Shir Al Hayam was 8 days later. It was eight days later.
7 days.
Shvi Shal Pesach.
Yeah.
Shvi Shal Pesach. What is Rashi talking about? Eight days later.
Golis at that time. So that
8 days.
Day of Yitzias.
That what? From the Korban Pesach. Rashi says 8 days. Mishiyotzim in Mitzrayim. Al Shom Shir Al Hayam. I don't know. So the Meshech Chachma thinks that it's a misprint. He thinks it should say 7 days. He says seven strings, but the tzitzis have eight strings. What does it help that it's 7 days? So he says Rashi and Chumash apparently thinks there's a big machlokes of Rishayim. When it says you have tchelis, how many strings of the tzitzis are supposed to be dyed tchelis? So we have four long strings that are folded over into eight. So the Rambam's opinion is that you dye a half of one string blue. So you have seven white strings and one blue string. The Ravid is masik on the Rambam, and he says, what do you mean? That's very hard to do, because they don't dye it after they twine it, after they make it a string. They don't dye it then. If they dye it after they make it into a string, so it's going to be white inside. It has to be blue through and through. So they have to dye it when it's in the state of wool, and then they have to spin a string. They have to make a string out of it. So they have to take blue dyed wool, and they have to take white wool. They have to make a long string and switch horses in midstream over here. You have to switch from the blue to make the other half white. That's not so easy. According to the Ravid, it's easier. The Ravid says one long string should be blue, and the other three long strings should be white. So at the end of the day, after you tie all the tzitzis, two out of the eight are going to be blue, and six out of the eight are going to be white. And Rashi and Tosfos on the Gemara Menachos understood the Talmud Bavli as saying there may be some others, maybe the Sifrei says Beferish like that, like the Rambam and the Ravid, either like the Rambam and the Ravid. But Rashi and Tosfos understood in the Gemara that it's not so, that it's two and two.
Yeah.
Two of the long strings are blue, and two of the long strings are white. So after you tie everything all together, so you have four and four. They have eight strings. Four of the strings are going to be blue. In Shulchan Aruch, that's the only opinion that's quoted. Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote not the Rambam and not the Ravid. They don't quote that it's a half of a long string. They don't quote that it's one string. We have Dinam Halacha L'maisa based on the assumption that it's two and two, that half of the strings are tchelis and half of the strings are loven. Take, for example, if the strings tear, so the Gemara says there's a din of gardum eight tzitzis. So as long as two of the tzitzis are shleimim, two long strings are shleimim, and the other two strings are torn a little bit, they're shorter than what they should have been. So since in the lechatchila, when you tied it, they all had the correct length, and now you have two abishleimusam, and the other two are gadume, they're cut off, they're shortened, so that's acceptable. But let's say you'll have three will be torn, three of the long strings will be incomplete, so then it's no good. Because this is, this Psak and Shulchan Aruch, this is based on the Rabbi Natam Shita, that is two and two. Yeah. Or the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Malbim. The Malbim has a Chibur Arts Sachaim on the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. It ends in the middle of Hilchas Tefillin. So he has the Arts Sachaim writes, let's say you have a silk beged and you want to use silk strings, so that's okay. Or let's say you want to have a silk beged and you want to use woolen strings, it's also okay. Let's say you want to have three woolen strings and one silk string. He thinks that's not okay, because it has to go in units of two. There are two units of strings. You have two and two. Two are keneged tchelis and two are keneged lovan. So he says if you want to have two long strings of silk, if the beged is silk, if you want to have two long strings of silk and two long strings of wool, that's okay. So Shulchan Aruch, they don't even quote the Rambam in the Ravid. The only Shita that they quote is the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam on the Gemara. So the Meshech Chachma says, despite the fact that Rashi and the Gemara learns like Tosfos that it's two and two, He says the Rashi on the Chumash is quoting this Medrash that it's 7 and 1, like the Rambam. Rashi and Chumash is assuming that it's 7 white strings and 1 blue string. So Rashi meant to say, he thinks that it's a misprint, that it should say, why are there 7 white strings connected to 7 days till Shvi'i Shal Pesach?
The Tosha says that you should make 1 chulia blue and 1 chulia white. What does Tosha mean, that you wind it once with the blue string and once with the white string?
Chulia means you have we have 2 knots, then we have wind around 7 times, chulia, then you, wind, right? You have 2 knots, then you have 8 strings. Yeah. 7, 8, 11, 13.
Right.
So one sheet in Rishonim is that the first unit should be
white,
the second unit should be blue, you should alternate.
Yeah.
Then another sheet in Rishonim is that you alternate every twist, every time you tie around. You have once, the first time you tie around, it should be white, the next time blue, next time white, next time blue. Keep on alternating.
Mm-hmm.
Not alternating chulias, but alternating krichas. Mm. Different opinions. And the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam says all the krichas are blue, except for the very first krich and the very last krich.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else in between should be
most
different.
Most people will only have only one string blue, only 3 white and 1 blue. No, most people.
It's divided. From the people who wear tchelis, you have everything is variety.
Yeah, right.
So some do like the Rambam, they only have half of 1 string blue.
Yeah.
Many others do like the Ravid, and many others do like the Bali Atesis, like Rashi and Bali Atesis on the Gemara, yeah. That they have 2 and 2, cost twice as much.
And also with the winding, so many. I was there once and I nearly was bored, but they told me 11 shittos. I said, I'm not getting.
Well, the winding, that's not miyake b'riyevi. But how many you have to have, how many tchelis and Laban? If you have the wrong numbers, so you're talking not yet in the mitzvah of tchelis. But in Shulchan Aruch, the only opinion that's quoted is the 2 and 2. We have dinim based on the assumption that it's 2 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Rambam and the Ravid are totally ignored.
Is anyone you would follow Rashi with the dark?
There are many who insist Dafka on not diluting the tchelis. They want to have very, very dark.
I haven't seen anyone. I haven't seen it. What's the Rambam sheet? Why is it light blue? What's it a simon?
Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole chelik one yortzeit drasha. He gave on tzitzis and tcheles. So the chelik hadrush was, what is the tcheles supposed to represent? According to Rashi, that is supposed to represent the color of the sky at night and depth in the Makas B'charis, supposed to represent din. According to the Rambam, supposed to represent chesed. So he gave a whole arichas with passages from the Zohar on this topic, whether the tcheles supposed to represent midas ha-chesed or midas ha-din. Okay, everyone should be blessed with a pleasant summer.
After Mari, we'll have a ticket.
Oh.
Who's the chiyuv?
Jay.
There's an Australian doctor.
But you go online, did you see their website?
No.
They have all the diagrams of all the Rishonim.